I'm Jen Schrader, and this is Behind the Springs, conversations with the people working for you in Colorado Springs, Olympic City, USA.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Behind the Springs. Spring is coming soon. Oh my gosh, thank goodness, I am ready for it. And also coming, more than 100 flower beds designed to beautify our local neighborhood. So the city has this program called Springs in Bloom. Some people may have never heard of it, and I certainly didn't until I started working for the city. So this is where individuals or groups can adopt a flower bed and kind of just help our city look good. And our city's horticulturist, Alex Crochet, is with me today as my guest. Thanks, Alex, for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So you kind of run this show, this program, along with some other things.
I do.
And so we're kind of celebrating a big moment for this program in particular, and I want to get to that, but let's start first. Most people probably don't even know that we have a horticulturist, or for that matter, what a horticulturist does,
sure.
Or if you're me, how to say horticulturist. No, I'm just kidding. But if you could start by telling us just what exactly is your role in the city, what do you do, and tell us a little bit about your small but mighty team.
All right. So I grow all of the plant material that you see throughout the city. We, of course, have the Springs in Bloom program that I grow plants for, but I also grow plants for other things as well. Revegetation and open spaces and trails happens, garden beds and parks. But the horticulture department also provides vegetable starts to the community centers, which is pretty exciting. So we provide vegetables to the community gardens that are city run and all sorts of other things in between. We're also working hard to bring an educational component to the horticulture department. So we'll bring school groups through, different volunteer organizations come through, and we're really just trying to engage people throughout the city in horticulture. And horticulture is the intersection of art and science. So horticulturists grow plants, but there's an art to growing plants as well, and an art to designing the flower beds that we're growing in. So horticulture is this really cool career field where not only are we doing scientific things and growing plants in greenhouses, but beautifying the city and also providing habitat to pollinators and things like that.
And I assume you've always been sort of excited about that work, right?
Yeah, I've been gardening since I was a little boy. I remember the first thing I ever bought was a grape plant from Hillside Garden years and years ago. So I've always been gardening with my family. It's something that we've always done, and I'm just super passionate about it.
And now you get to do it for a living,
yeah,
which is wonderful. And so you've got a couple people on your team with you. There's
correct,
three of you.
So right now we have, there are four of us, including
four.
Me.
Okay.
We have one seasonal.
Okay.
His name's Jason. He comes back every year and he's a propagator for us. So he starts a lot of the small plants, gets them going.
Okay.
But total, I've got one full-time employee, 1.75 employee, and then my seasonal employee and myself. So
okay,
we're a small but mighty crew.
I was going to say you're always busy.
Yeah, we're always busy. Something that's really interesting about horticulture is it changes by the season, but we're always doing something even in the winter. So winter is the time that we can kind of reflect, take a step back, understand what next year is going to look like. Fall, we grow and collect a lot of seeds. So we're out in open spaces actually collecting some of the plant material that will grow in the spring. And then, of course, spring and summer are just crazy busy for us, growing the plants and then installing plant material in the beds that we maintain as well.
And so am I correct, over 100 flower beds you maintain across the city? So when people see those flower beds and medians and around neighborhoods and wonder, who does that belong to? It's usually ours.
Yep.
Okay.
So we have beds in SIMD that this year we're working on converting SIMD.
And tell people what that is.
Yeah. SIMD is the areas, Briargate, Norwood, Stetson Hills,
yes,
Dublin areas.
Okay.
So there are about 55 flower beds in that area that we'll be putting more perennial and native plant material in this year. Previously we were doing annuals, but part of the reason why we've started to grow native plants and grow perennial plants is it saves money.
Right.
And that's a great thing. It also saves time because these are plants that live in the soil all the time, rather than an annual that needs to get planted and pulled out every year. But we grow a hugely diverse amount of flowers and put every type of plant material in all of these beds because the annuals give us color. They'll bloom the whole season. The perennials give us structure, interest in the winter, which is important. We want our garden beds to start to look good in the wintertime as well as the summertime.
Right.
Because we have a really short growing season. So we're really working on making the beds dynamic for all of the seasons.
And a big question I have, and I would think our listeners would have, is where do you grow all of this? Where does all this happen?
Sure. So we have a really cool complex of greenhouses in Monument Valley Park. A lot of you have probably driven past them at some point and not known what they are. But we have 6 greenhouses that we grow in. Some are very, very big. Some are smaller. We're actually lucky enough to grow in General Palmer's greenhouse that was initially attached to Glen Eyrie and then moved to Monument Valley Park in 1907. So we have a huge range of different types of greenhouses, which is really fun to grow in. But we're especially lucky because General Palmer was really the mind behind Springs and Bloom and the horticulture program in the city years and years ago. And he wanted the city to have horticultural beauty all the time. So he was a hobby horticulturist, which a lot of people don't know. We have some plants in some of our greenhouses that were cuttings from his original plants. So he would go down to Mexico and find really cool, rare plants. So he was kind of the beginnings of this program.
It's like a legacy that he's left. Yeah. That's amazing. So you actually know the plants that were... Started with him.
Yeah, we have a bougainvillea. So if you've ever gone anywhere tropical, the really beautiful pink flowers. We have one planted in the ground in his greenhouse, which is really big. And then we have a cactus that blooms at night, and it blooms these big, beautiful white flowers.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we have 2 legacy plants.
You got to take good care of those.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. So tell us a little bit more about Springs and Bloom. This year is the 20th anniversary, is remarkable.
Yeah.
And how did it all start and why do you think it's still going strong?
So initially it was a result of the first economic downturn in 2004. There was a reduction in horticulture staff. And so how could we continue to grow flowers? Let's get volunteers invested in this program. So it started then back when the horticulture department had 5 employees and the horticulturist. So a lot bigger of a department. But now... we've just maintained this legacy of these people beautifying a lot of the times their own neighborhood beds. So we have locations all throughout the city. In the future, we also hope to increase the amount of beds that we're seeing. They're predominantly downtown right now.
Okay.
But we do have a few in different areas of town. But pretty much this program is a program where the volunteers can either design their own or we design their bed for them. And then we grow this plant material in our greenhouses and distribute it usually around Mother's Day. And our volunteers will pick up the flowers, take their design, and then implement that design into the soil. So it's really cool to see.
They're doing the work.
Yeah,
they're doing the work.
Absolutely.
And then they're maintaining.
Yes. Yeah, so they'll pull the weeds and all that kind of stuff. Really, it's just a matter of keeping your beds weed free once you've initially planted them. We have irrigation that waters for you. So really the commitment is just taking that plant material that we're growing for them and then caring for it through the season. So a lot of the annuals, which were the initial types of plants that we grew for Springs and Bloom, need to be deadheaded if we want them to continue to bloom throughout the year. So there's a little bit of maintenance that goes into the annual flowers. But they'll spend hours and hours also summer long taking care of these beds. And some of them have a little bit of a healthy competition with one another now. Yeah, certainly. At the end of the season, we'll have an award ceremony. We'll give the golden trowel to people.
Oh, nice.
In around mid-August, we'll take a panel of judges who change kind of on a yearly basis around to the best-looking flower beds, and they'll pick their favorites out of our favorites and judge that. And
oh, that's fun.
Their numbers are what ultimately help us decide who
and
gets
you've
the
had
golden trowel.
Have you had some people be with you the whole 20 years?
Yeah, we have some volunteers who have been with us the entire time. So it's very much a sense of pride that they have with these flower beds and a legacy. A lot of them are passing these flower beds down. So it's really cool to see them stay kind of within the groups. But it's also very exciting to see the new volunteers. And this year, I had an interview on TV last week. a flood of volunteers emailed me. We're also having city entities ask if they can adopt a flower bed as well. So there's a lot of interest. And I think ultimately when COVID happened, people realized like, I can garden. Like that's something that I can do.
Right.
But not everybody has the luxury of having their own yard to garden in.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for someone who maybe lives in an apartment or a business or a nonprofit to take a little plot in the city and beautify it with their name on it.
And just have that pride, which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Are you at the point right now during, you know, heading into spring where you have enough volunteers, or are you needing more, or how do people
find out about it? So we're getting full.
Okay.
I think there are about 7 beds left to be adopted.
So if people are interested. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
But I do hope to increase the amount of beds throughout the city as time goes on.
Because it seems like you have an interest in terms of volunteers.
Yeah, and also I want to start to spread the love a little bit throughout the city as well. You know, we are mostly focused downtown. We have a little bit on the northwest side of town. But I would love to see some beds on the southeast side of town and the southwest side of town and just really be able to have options for people in all parts of the city.
Right. So we're beautifying every neighborhood and And so speaking of beautification, you were talking about revegetation and some of our open spaces, and that also falls under your position.
Yeah.
So is this the time of year when you're really working on that as well, or?
Sure. This is kind of new with me. So I'm going on my 3rd year as the horticulturist for the city. The reason why we started with vegetation is we have this huge complex of greenhouses, and once the annual flowers left the greenhouse, they just sat empty. And I was like, well, let's use the space that we have and get multiple crops
out of this greenhouse. Yeah.
So once the annuals go out around Mother's Day, the greenhouses open back up. They have to be heated and cooled because of the utilities that exist inside. So we started to collect seed from different open spaces in the fall and grew the plants from those open spaces, and then have returned the plants to the rangers once they're grown, and the rangers have been able to plant some of these plants in open spaces and along trails and things like that. We've been able to help close trails with some of the plant material that we've given people.
Some of those rogue trails that, and when we've redone open spaces with master plans. Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. And then also if we see an area that's maybe a little sparse, or we'd like to get some more flowers in there or things like that, we'll provide flower material. And then we also grow flowers and plants that are called riparian plants. So those exist along our creeks and our ponds and our waterways. And we grow thousands of plants that get distributed to the rangers for Creek Week, and volunteers help with Creek Week. So the rangers get tons and tons of people to help kind of clean up some of our waterways. And now one of the options that they can offer is to do a revegetation. So it started with willows. Willows are very easy to grow. You can cut a branch of a willow and stick it in a bucket of water, and it'll root in about a week, which is pretty crazy.
Wow.
So we started producing these willows, and it became a great resource for the rangers. And now we'll sit down with the rangers of different open spaces to kind of understand what sorts of plant materials would benefit you this year. That way I'll have a specific plant material for them that we know will be useful to them. Mm-hmm. And then they can take it into different bare areas or along new trails or things like that if they need.
That makes sense. And that's why every year is a little different.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Because the needs change.
Yeah. So every part of the year we're doing something different, which is really great for us because it's just a very diverse job. And then we're seeing the benefit of medians getting flowers and open space getting plants, and just really trying to spread as much plant material out as we can. So we grow hundreds of thousands of plants every year of all shapes and sizes, thousands of vegetables, thousands of native plants and perennials. And that's a pretty new program for us as well. So the annuals take a lot of water and fertilizer. And one of the things we wanted to do is think to the future a little bit and think about sustainability. You know, we're a municipality that doesn't exist on a river. So our water resources are definitely different. So I wanted to start to think about plant material that was a little bit better to grow if we were under water restrictions. Mm-hmm. That way, these flower beds would still look beautiful, even if the water resources were a little bit less.
Which happens, as we all know here.
Yeah.
Yes, very frequently.
So We started with only annuals in the program. Now we opened up the option to our initial volunteers, and about 50% of them decided that they would like to see some perennial flowers in their beds as well. So some beds you'll see all annuals, some you'll see a mix of annuals and perennials.
Which means a little more maintenance, a longer period of maintenance for them to maintain those, right?
Or not really? Have less overall.
So oh, really?
The annuals
okay.
have to come out of the ground at the end of the season.
So they have to do
just
that,
sticks,
right.
They're dead.
Right.
When it freezes. But the perennials, all you have to do is cut them back once in
good.
Early spring. So
that's
like
true.
Right around
so
now.
Yeah.
And then you're done.
Right.
So we're actually helping the volunteers a little bit by offering the perennials as well, because we can take a third of their bed space with perennials, and then the rest can still be annuals. So you're still getting that beautiful color, but you just have less physical space you have to maintain and garden.
Mm-hmm. And fill. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so even people who are listening who are not gardeners or who are not interested in maybe adopting a bed, can you just talk about just the overall benefit for this city? You know, the beautification of the city, I think people think, oh, that's nice, but it really is more than just nice. I mean, it brings a quality of life. It makes the city look and feel like a place that people want to come and live.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, one of the most important things is community members taking pride in their own community,
right?
So we have people in the neighborhoods getting groups of neighbors together, which in this day and age kind of seems rare sometimes, working alongside your neighbors mm-hmm. and getting to know the people that you live alongside. So there's a community aspect of it that's really important. Also, more and more people are becoming interested in gardening. So this is a kind of a safe program. There's not a lot of stakes that people have in it, where they can start to learn how to garden and start to experiment and see what they have successes with.
And then bring that to their own home if
exactly
they can. Right.
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 Exactly right. So that's great. Then we're building flower beds in these areas that pollinators are going to visit and birds are going to visit. So there's an environmental impact as well. And then, of course, the financial side of it, we have volunteers helping an otherwise small department. So
saving
we can really
money.
Spread the love of horticulture throughout the city more than we would be able
Absolutely.
To do just as the four of us.
Yeah. And like you said, though, it seems even though you are a smaller team, you're really looking at ways to continue to do this in a financially responsible
Absolutely.
Way and
yeah.
an environmentally responsible
sure.
way.
I think yeah. we owe it to the taxpayers to make sure that we're using their money in the smartest way possible, mm-hmm. certainly. We'll get to the point where these plants will save water.
Mm-hmm.
We're also even pivoting some of our annuals this year, our xeric or water-wise annuals as well. So we haven't had a lot of options for those in the past,
mm-hmm.
but now we've got plant material that don't need quite as much water, which is really important.
That's great. Okay. Now, my last request for you would just be, I would love, can you send me a little picture of General Palmer's plant or yeah,
yeah
we're
absolutely.
Gonna have to share that.
They're
that
pretty would be, big. They're
are they?
Big pots,
right. Well,
yeah.
they're a little bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Well, it sounds like a fun job. Thanks for all you do. And thank you to your whole team for all the great work you're doing. And I want to encourage people to visit coloradosprings.gov/springsinbloom, which is the name of the program. And that gives you kind of an overview. It also gives you an email address where you can get in touch with his team if you'd like to volunteer, because yep. there are a few spots left.
Yep. There's an application at the bottom of the page
okay.
as well as a packet detailing everything
what
that
it
you
involves.
Would need to know.
Okay. Yep. What it involves. Okay. Well, thanks, Alex.
Of course,
and
thank
I
you
should
for having
mention
me.
In case people don't know that Alex and his team are part of our Parks, Recreation and Cultural Services
yes.
department. And so I think it's just never ending. The new things we learn about that department, you guys are big and making an incredible impact.
We're making a sustainable splash too, which is pretty exciting.
Which is fun. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.